is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Want to remind everybody that a free dental care clinic is going on today and tomorrow from 9 o'clock a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. at the Los Padillas Community Center. That's 2117 Los Padillas Road Southwest. To schedule an appointment, again, this is free. Free dental care, exams, x-rays, cleanings, fluoride treatments, desensitization. I'm not going to try to say that three times fast. and sealants. And it's all for free, 9 to 4. Call 898-2797. You'll be calling Mira Consulting. What a wonderful business, partnering with the community, providing free dental services. That's today and tomorrow, 9 o'clock a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. Join me now in welcoming Manuel Gonzalez. He is the Bernalillo County Sheriff in his second term.
Yes.
Sheriff, thanks so much for being here.
Jim, thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
I've known you a long time.
Yes, sir.
Since before you took over running the department, and you've really done a spectacular job.
Oh, thank you. You found that I couldn't play basketball, so you found something I could do. So.
Yeah, but you made fun of how I ran.
No, I didn't.
I'm teasing.
You're a good man.
I, you know, your nephews, I had a chance to coach them, and they told me when we started coaching, they said, "Coach, my number one goal," and they were the number one, the point guard and the three position at St. Pius High School.
Yes.
Twin boys.
Yeah.
And they said, "We want to beat Hope." And guess what they did their senior year?
Beat Hope.
They beat Hope.
Yeah. You're talking about Matthew.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael. Yeah,
yeah.
Matthew and Michael.
I consider
them,
their dad's a really good friend of mine. They're not related to me, but I do feel like they're my nephews because they did go to the same school that my boys did, and they're very good men.
They are. And I need to follow up on them, see how they're doing.
They're awesome.
Everybody's doing good, and your boys are good.
I think Michael stayed back here at UNM, and his the other boy went off to one of the...
Don't say New Mexico State.
No, he went to Washington, D.C. I think he's looking at one of the military programs for the Marine Corps. So.
Oh,
good man.
Yeah, what quality people.
Yes.
St. Pius graduates, great school at St. Pius High School,
yes.
And you have a long history with them, your boys... have been attending, and you have a senior right now.
Yes, I do. Isaiah, my son Isaiah, is going to be a senior this year, or he is a senior, and he's finishing up this year, and he's getting ready to graduate here in May.
Yeah.
So we're excited.
Well, Sheriff Gonzalez, you entered the political arena after serving in law enforcement for many years.
Yes.
Being the Bernalillo County Sheriff is a political job, and we all read this past summer during COVID that you cooperated with federal agencies like the FBI, Homeland Security, and U.S. Marshals Office, but everybody politicized that and said, Manuel Gonzalez is cooperating with Donald Trump. And, of course, it just got crazy out of control. But I know the results of that cooperative effort that you had with the feds had some real positive impact. And I want you to tell us about that and how crazy that got for you just trying to protect us.
You know, Jim, you're absolutely right. I got a lot of, I guess, attention, I guess, just because of the controversy of the election. But that's not what's important. What's important is that the reasons that we were doing those is to dismantle some of the criminal enterprises that are deeply rooted in Albuquerque. There's a huge problem here. What I give credit to our staff is that we brought national attention here from Washington because they were so impressed with what we were doing. We were taking some of the most violent people off the streets of Albuquerque. I know there was one year where we arrested approximately about 16 to 17 homicide offenders alone that were roaming freely in the streets of Albuquerque. But there's a lot of other important things that we were doing. You know, some of these cases are going federal, and these cases are being these are national cases or international cases. So there's a big problem here in Albuquerque, and we don't want anybody to turn a blind eye. And nobody's feeling those impacts more than the citizen. I want to let you know that while I went to Washington, one of the biggest things that I had the opportunity to do was meet with the V. Hill family. And that family's had the opportunity to go through a tremendous tragedy and suffering. And they're here in Albuquerque, and they wanted help. And for me to be able to go along on that journey with them to go out there and get assistance and hopefully bring something back and have that person arrested means a lot, not only to that family, but to this community. And there is too many people suffering. in this community from those type of things at the hands of very dangerous people, that we need to get a handle on this problem. And I think that's what people are concerned about. And I believe that's why I'm doing this interview today.
Well, I'm a lifelong New Mexican, Sheriff. I lived down by Wyoming and Lomas in a little area built by Mankin Homes when I was first and second grade.
Wow.
I used to ride my bike as a first grader from Eubank and Copper all the way over to Manal in Wyoming. I'm a first grader.
Wow.
And at that time, there weren't all the busy streets that you have now in Albuquerque. And much of the land, Wyoming East, was vacant land. So, I mean, that's how long I've been here. But I don't remember locking our doors. I don't remember any of that. I don't remember feeling like somebody's going to grab you if you're a kid. And certainly my parents didn't think about that. And I raised five children here, and even since I had our first child, who's now 29 years old, things have changed.
Yes. People, you're saying something that's very important that is coming up in everyday conversations. People want to have their Albuquerque back. They want to have their city back. And that's what they're basically asking us in law enforcement to do, is give them back their city, a safe city. And that's what we're doing every single day. And I give our deputies so much credit, and the federal partners that came in, and the assistance we got from the Department of Justice to help that happen. So instead of us being so critical of what happened during that little period of time, is we should be very grateful for the people that are willing to take that stance and be on the front lines of creating that safer Albuquerque.
I never saw a protest in Albuquerque after you brought those folks in here.
Yes.
And that's because people don't realize that, and I'm just going to say bad guys, people that have only one intention, which is to come in the community, fly into the community, drive into the community and cause trouble, you know who those people are.
Yes.
And the feds helped you identify them.
That's true. You know, what stands out to me about the time there was protest is they did send me a video of one of the persons that organized the protest. And the Albuquerque Police Department, I guess, was holding the line there at the headquarters. And they threatened the protesters with the presence of the sheriff's office, and that's when the protesters actually walked away, and they have a video of them showing that the sheriff's coming, and they said, so we know they mean business, and so they left. And so for me, it's just the omnipresence that we've had in this community, and people respect the sheriff's office because of the way we treat people with dignity and respect. And knowing that we're going to follow the rule of law, and we're a constitutional office, and we're going to make sure that we do everything in our God-given power to protect people here. And people are really fed up with what's going on, and we want to just represent those people and make sure that they're safe.
Sheriff, so I have to ask you a little bit about some of your political aspirations. You're nearing the end of your second term as the sheriff, and you're not allowed to run for a third term.
I wish I could, but yes, you're correct.
So there's another office that I guess you sound like you might be interested in. That's for the mayor of Albuquerque.
Yes, that's something I'm looking at. I'm at the point right now where when you enter into these opportunities, hopefully move on to maybe something different. I've always said that I would consider what the people would want me to do. And I didn't know, I would say the only reason you get that opportunity is if hopefully you're successful in your terms in whatever office you hold. Well, they've asked me to consider running for mayor. So I've put my feelers out. I've went ahead and looked into that process, and it looks like I'm getting one step closer. And if that's the case, in a couple of weeks, I should officially do that if it plans out right.
Well, that's exciting, and we'll be praying for you.
Well,
to have some real serious
it.
Discernment about whether to do that.
Well, that's the same way I came into this position, and I know there's a big learning curve. But what I want people to know is that, you know, we talked about this a little bit, and me and you have talked about this about before. Raising a family right is no different than raising an organization right. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to have that tough love, show them the support, love them, do all the things they need in terms of growing to their potential and creating an environment where they feel safe. Well, that's what we've done at the sheriff's office, and that's what we want to do for the future of whatever office we take on in the future.
I have great admiration for law enforcement, and I know you. I've never seen you have to put up with somebody that was belligerent, but I know you well enough to know that when they're in your face, you have kindness, and your heart is not to retaliate or anything else. It's to be kind and be professional, and I have to tell you, I don't think I could do that personally.
Well, sometimes we surprise ourselves, but I think because all of us have different upbringings, and I really feel like I've prepared all my life for where I'm at right now. And I take that very serious, but also through all that adversity in my life also pays its dividends when you're serving. And so for me, I always look at it as like, this is what I was called to do. It's prepared me very well. I think my parents and the people in the community that help invest their time in my education and my upbringing and my development to make sure that I was adequately prepared for this moment. And I think this moment I'm more prepared than ever.
And your team, your entire department is trained for things that we wouldn't expect.
Yes.
You understand evil. You understand the nature of man probably better than we do. And so that doesn't surprise you when behavior's out of hand.
We recognize a lot of indicators that show people's behaviors, and some of those behaviors, whether they're mentally ill, sometimes if there's substance abuse that is overlaying in that situation, there's a lot of different things that are thrown at us. But also we understand the law. And so we understand that we're supposed to follow that law. And we understand that those laws aren't always black and white. I think the greatest thing that any law enforcement officer understands that ever has ever put on a uniform understands that their discretion is the greatest power they have. And that gives them a great gray area to make decisions that on the outcomes of that interaction between them and another person. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm going to say law enforcement's a lot like just being created. You have the opportunity to create law enforcement just the way you want to see it. It could be something very, very fruitful, very exhilarating, satisfaction. There's a lot of satisfaction to doing this. And my point is that it's only limited to how you want this thing to go. And sometimes there's going to be difficult people, but what you do have supporting you is the people. And I really believe because we are a government of the people, you have these rule of laws and these things to stand up on, and that's a good place to be.
I want to bring up a couple of statements that were made by the Democratic Party. If you run for mayor, you're going to be in the run as a Democrat. And I don't want to really focus on the negative statements as much as I want to focus on the results of what you did and the courage that you showed in the face of some of these comments. Mm-hmm. Actually turned out really, really well. So I want to ask you about that. The first one is a statement that was made by the ACLU on July 22nd, 2021. They said, your department was receiving unmarked federal forces that terrorized protesters in other states. And then the second one that I was fascinated with was a statement made around the same time by New Mexico Senator Martin Heinrich. And he said that you were inviting the Trump administration to send federal forces to help patrol our city. And as you said in earlier statement, you respect people.
Yes.
You extend kindness. You're very professional. And the results, again, of your bringing in the federal were not really, these characterizations were incorrect. Now, will those people now say, hey, Sheriff Gonzalez used the federal forces in a way that we didn't anticipate, and it actually was productive? And you think those folks will back you and support you?
I would never expect to hear that. What I do know is those people were ill-informed, independent politicians. And what I also know is that they don't always represent the party as a whole. I can tell you that there's many people within the party that supported me, but you're not going to hear that via the media. And so for me, I dwell in the truth, and I know what I did was on behalf of the people and representing them, and I would do it all over again. I believe that this community as a whole understands that there's a lot at stake. And basically, if you can't be safe in the streets of Albuquerque, you really don't have a quality of life. So for us, we want to restore that quality of life. One of the biggest things we've done is the things we've done operationally, and that goes hand in glove with the public. We have to identify the catalysts that want to see Albuquerque be better. Well, what we do is we've identified the catalysts and the leaders in our department to work with them, and we're able to have a positive impact on crime. We're actually helping Albuquerque reduce their crime.
Sheriff, in our next segment, we're going to take a quick break and say thank you to some of our sponsors. Sure. But when we come back, we're going to talk to you about terms that we all hear like sanctuary city, coordination between the police department, APD, and the sheriff's department, just to get an idea of what is really happening. Because that's all, again, characterized in the media differently
sure.
every time you turn around. Sheriff Manuel Gonzalez, Bernalillo County Sheriff, is in studio with us this afternoon. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect.
At Krecker Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Krecker Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheKreckerLawFirm.com. The C-R-E-C-C-A Law Firm.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air. Call Bosky and we'll be.
Whether dining inside or eating on the patio of our favorite local restaurants, let's get out and support them, including Casa Taco, uniquely prepared craft tacos made fresh to order, Nacho Mama's Tacos, Grass Burger, using 100% grass-fed beef, darn healthy, eatgrassburger.com, Village Pizza, two locations, great homemade pizza, the best ingredients. Ordering delivery, takeout, or pickup are still available. They need us, and truth be told, we need them. Bon appetit.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. We appreciate you being with us today. We have Manuel Gonzalez. He is the Bernalillo County Sheriff in studio with us. Sheriff Gonzalez, I can't imagine. You almost finished raising those boys of yours, although you'll have to do the grandparent thing here before too long.
I hope so.
In fact, I found out this past weekend that I'm going to be a grandfather of two identical twin little girls.
Congratulations, Jim.
First ones. I have five kids, so I'm thinking I'm going to have a bunch. What do you think?
That's awesome. I'm happy for you.
And I want Albuquerque to be safe. Can we reduce crime? Can we not be at the top of the list or the bottom of the good list?
Absolutely.
We can.
Yes. Good public order policy, good public order enforcement, all of those things can do. Bottom line, it needs to come down to political reform.
And what you're doing right now in cooperation with some of the federal government mandates, are those resources going to be always available to you?
What I can tell you, Jim, is there's been a long-standing relationship between us and the federal partners. I think some people think this is something that's been introduced, but it's just helping us bolster what we're already doing. Mm. I think the fact that we're taking these cases, federal takes these people out that are very violent in our community and holds them accountable. They're doing anywhere from 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, but they're not here at the Metro Detention Center. They're not at the state prison where they're releasing them. Now they're going to federal prison, and we won't see them not only here in the streets of Albuquerque, but in New Mexico for a long, long time.
Mm. You know, it's fascinating to me, law enforcement. This is totally off script, but I unfortunately went through a divorce after 27 years, this is a number of years ago, and I see the sheriffs at the courthouse. And the only time that I've really ever seen a sheriff officer get in a confrontation is right after divorce court, not with me, but with some other people. And they were so brilliant in the way they de-escalated it and calmed, you know, everybody down. And it was like you heard some screaming and then it was over and everybody was just peaceful. So that's just one way I've seen what you're doing happen. I want to ask you about the Albuquerque Police Department and their efforts coordinated with the Sheriff's Department. Is that where you want it to be, or can it be done better?
Two different cultures. You know, the culture that we have is shoulder to shoulder with the community. What we'd like to see is people that benefit from the same things that the citizens of Bernalillo County benefit is the same things that we want to see the citizens of Albuquerque benefit. So I think there needs to be some cultural changes, and I think that's where the leadership comes in place. Mm-hmm. So until you get those leaders in the right place, those things aren't going to happen.
Yeah. How about the Sheriff's Department? You can't run again for Bernalillo County Sheriff. Are you bringing up some young guys to take over?
I think of the thing that I have focused on the most, and if you want to look at something that you want to hold as your legacy, that would be the thing that I would look at the first is, did you truly mentor the people that need to be in the leadership positions? Because what you want is for the fundamental services of making sure things are done right, that the right people are in there. So absolutely, that's been my number one priority. I absolutely have all the confidence in my staff, my executive staff, and the up-and-comers, the rank and file, that they are going to be the future leaders of Bernalillo County, and they're going to make Bernalillo County one of the safest places to live in the country over the next 5, 10, 15, or 20 years.
Sheriff, what does it mean that Albuquerque is a sanctuary city?
That means that there's some policies that I feel that are unconstitutional, and I don't believe that you could subvert these federal laws. And so for me, those are fire starter policies that create animosity between an immigrant community and a local community. And those aren't things that we should be doing or inciting. Those things are national issues. Us in local law enforcement and state policing can't do immigration policing. So that puts us in a very hard position to be perceived as, I want to say, the bad person and as a hammer of the government. So we don't enforce those laws. So it's very misleading. And because sometimes people that are coming from other countries aren't educated, it gives them a false perception of what we do. So we're not the police of immigrants.
I don't know if this is an appropriate analogy. And again, I'm going off script, but you know I'm a retired banker.
Yes.
So I've spent my entire life asking very invasive questions about people's personal finance and their credit reports and all of those different things. And the technology that's available today to do background checks, even criminal background checks, is pretty significant. Now, let's take Mexico, for example. Let's say that somebody wants to immigrate into the United States. I don't know whether data is available for them, but it seems like that could have been developed in a much more advanced way over the last 10 years and could be accelerated in the next two or three, because the truth is I think all of us want people to be able to immigrate into the United States, become taxpayers, become citizens, become, you know, good neighbors and all participate together.
Yes.
For you to be down on the border for 10 years, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I get to say these kind of things because I'm the host. That is ridiculous.
Yes.
To put somebody in a detrimental position with their family on the border for 10 years, come on. We can fix that. I know this is not an issue for you, but I'm sitting back going, why are various presidential administrations, I mean, you can say everything's Donald Trump's fault, but why didn't the previous administration who was in office for 8 years do anything about it? Bottom line is, we can do something about it. We could do it very quickly, relatively. We could make our whole state and even Mexico safer by just addressing it the right way.
Yes, and that's something that needs to be addressed on the federal level, whether it be through the executive office. Obviously, you have the United States senators in our congressional seats. Those are the issues that they should be addressing, and that's why we elect them into office. Right. As we start progressing in whatever elected office we have, those are questions that we need to hold them accountable for. And we haven't moved very far from immigration issues in the last 20 years. And they're still the hottest topic. So yeah, we need to have people that are thinking about these things every day and probably get hopefully some feedback from some of your local and state, maybe elected office holders to figure out how that comes about.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about the sheriff department's culture. I had former state police officer Doug Bolick. I don't know if you know Doug at all, but Doug was talking about our officer who was killed down by Deming, okay. One of the few state police officers that had been killed in recent years. And, you know, just the whole story is so horrible. But what he was talking about is the culture and the training and working in unincorporated areas of our state. That's what you do.
Yes.
You use a lot of times your officers are out. They have to have special ability and really a lot of knowledge and be careful because they don't have a lot of help.
Yes. And that's what sometimes needs to change with the state police as a culture, is they're going to have to be willing as an organization to collaborate with their local partners. And oftentimes the culture has so deeply rooted, it's hard for them to get away from that. So I would encourage collaboration with all their local partners, federal partners, to ensure that their officers are safe. Because I know if my son worked for the state police, that would be one of my greatest concerns. So you have to be willing to change that culture, and those are tough calls.
Yeah. Is it hard to get police and law enforcement to cooperate with each other?
That's a great question. I think the relationship we have right now I would say in some cases, yes. And sometimes that's why I brought up earlier political reform. You have to have people that aren't willing to politicize law enforcement because you're there to offer a service of neutrality, right? You're there for the citizen. You're there when they call you, they don't care what uniform you come in. They want help. So as long as you depoliticize that service, then I think it's not that hard. Me as a sheriff, I know the importance. I've been raised around this agency for almost 30 years. So I know the importance of collaboration, and nobody does anything by themselves. If you want to have a serious impact, if you want to have a long-standing and sustainable impact, you have to collaborate. And bottom line, it's the most responsible thing to do for the taxpayers because they're footing the bill and they have an expectation. So regardless of who you work for, whether you're in a local, state, or federal agency, you're working at the pleasure of the public, and they're paying, and you're being compensated by their taxpaying dollars. So you should be, and every elected official should be driving that bus towards that.
It would appear to me as an outsider that the Sheriff's Department has not had any trouble filling its ranks, recruiting. But that is a constant rehearsed statement by our current mayor and the police, Albuquerque Police Department, that they have so much trouble bringing in people. Do you think you could help change that around if you were mayor?
Yes, I think there's a fallacy about throwing money at problems. And I believe that the way you recruit is what you create. And in the environment we've created is a family-based environment where people feel supported, they feel safe, they feel like they're going to be able to reach their potential. There's opportunity there. There's gratification. You look forward to going to work. And when you get in these very tough situations like we have over the last 6 years of my terms of these very high profile cases where these deputies are being scrutinized, that you'll support them. And I believe that any officer would want that kind of support. That's the way you raise an organization, and that's the way we've raised and elevated the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. And the people tell us all the time when we're out in the public that they admire the deputies of this department. They appreciate the service they give, and they love that type of connection with their deputies. And so for me, it can be done anywhere. I think the city of Albuquerque is ready for that, and I guess really soon they'll know if they're ready for that type of making that type of difference.
I'm an old guy, but I know this was during your term as sheriff. I never told you this, but it's again a compliment. So about 5 years ago, I was at a restaurant in the North Valley on 4th Street.
Okay.
And we were sitting at the restaurant, and a person I was with, friend of mine, left her purse in the lobby. And we went and sat down and had, I can't remember if we were having breakfast or lunch, but it was a nice, and then all of a sudden she realized her purse was missing. So we went out, and she said, well, I had it here on the bench, and we called the sheriff's department. Sheriff's department, and it was just like clockwork. He says, can I see your cameras? Well, no sooner than he turns the cameras on, you can see this woman goes over. She has a gift bag. She picks up the purse and puts it in her gift bag and then walks out the front door. So he says, can I see your receipts? 2 minutes later, he has her name because she charged their breakfast on a credit card. And literally within 15 minutes, they drove over to her house and got the purse back, nothing missing.
Wow.
That was cool.
You can be trusted, right?
Yeah.
That's a culture.
But it was, you know, it was not, it was almost like not a big deal the way the sheriff that was present did this, and he had a partner with him. Their brains were just boom, 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 solved, done.
Good.
I loved it.
Good. You know, and I know we have cameras that have been introduced, and it just reaffirms the trust I've already had in our deputies. Now I just get to watch it on video. So to me, it's one of those things is that, you know, I think in our decision to bring cameras was a good decision. I think the fact that they're making a law now that everybody has cameras like us was a great decision. So It just shows you that when we thought this thing out, that we had the best interest of the public at heart and their safety. And I did the same thing with the deputies. It had nothing to do with not wanting to be viewed. My question is that we're really not viewing law enforcement. We're still viewing the public, and there's some constitutional issues about tracking people. So my concerns always came from the standpoint of constitutionality. They never come from not wanting to be accountable.
Yeah. I've heard somebody say once that door locks on your house aren't to keep honest people or to keep bad guys honest, to keep honest people honest.
Yeah, I like that.
But, you know, it's so valuable to know. I think probably one of the safest places in Albuquerque is the North Valley, and it's because of the presence of your department.
That's a good point, Jim. I just want to make and expand on that a little bit more. So if you look at when companies are going to start looking at doing business in a major city or a place like Bernalillo County, the first things they're going to look at is crime. And so I'm going to make a point. The biggest company, or if not the biggest company in the world, Amazon, just stood up a facility. Well, what did they look at? The crime. And they decided they were going to build that facility in Bernalillo County. Now, we believe that the city of Albuquerque deserves the same type of safety that they have in Bernalillo County. Crime's down. So if not the largest facility ever that Amazon's ever going to build, is going to be built on your point. You feel safe in the North Valley, South Valley, East Mountains, while people feel safe in the county. And so they were willing to build this large facility, and credit to public safety, the sheriff's office, the county commissioners for bringing that project to New Mexico, because people want to do business in this community because of the people, the culture, the food, the weather. We have it all here. All we need to do is make it safe.
Well, when we come back, we'll have to cover the very important thing of who has the best red and green chili. So when we get back, Manuel Gonzalez, Bernalillo County Sheriff, will be back with us another half an hour. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Easter Sunrise Service is back at Calvary. Join us Sunday, April 4th at 7 a.m. in the Greenbelt on our Osuna campus to celebrate the moment that changed everything, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hang on to your lawn chairs as Skip Heitzig takes you on a journey from the Garden of Eden to the Garden Tomb.
See, the question is not, am I going to die? If you're wondering with this coronavirus, am I going to die? Yes, you are. You have a death sentence, so do I. We all do. It's appointed unto every man wants to die. The question is not if you'll die, but when you'll die. And more than that, where are you going to go when you die?
Plus, battle drums and guest artist Mac Brock. Into the garden. That is the message. Outside in the Greenbelt at Calvary is the location. The perfect place this year for sunrise service. Bring a blanket or folding chairs and sit with your household. 9 and 11 a.m. services will also be held at our Osuna, Westside, and Santa Fe campuses on Easter morning. Online TV and radio options at calvarynm.church/Easter. See you at Calvary's Easter Sunrise Service at 7 a.m. Come into the garden.
No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've came from, what your background is, what your addiction might be, God loves you.
It's morning in Canton, Ohio. Joe McDermott is thirsty. He gets up from his easy chair and walks 20 feet to the kitchen. He turns on the faucet and fills up his glass. 8,000 miles away, Mahika walks barefoot for 3 miles to fill her clay jug with water. Problem is, this water is contaminated. The people of Mahika's village suffer from disease. Some die, but this is their only source of water. Joe, if you're listening, for just $30, Gospel Phrasia can provide a biosand water filter for Mahika and her family. This device makes water 98% pure. Or you can donate a Jesus well for her village, bringing clean water to 300 people. Joe, we hope you're listening, because people like Mahika are counting on you. Give the gift of life, the gift of water, and point the way to the living water through Gospel Phrasia. Thanks, Joe. Call 855-572-4628 or go to knkt.com and click the Gospel for Asia banner.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage loan. Maybe you're refinancing or looking to purchase a home. The team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Ben Lucero and his team can be reached on indigomortgage.net, 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Sheriff Manuel Gonzalez, Bernalillo County, nice to see you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
I haven't seen you since the stress of COVID took place. I probably saw you about a year and a half ago or so. So glad to hear your family's good. And your wife, she's good?
My wife's great.
I love her. Is she a teacher?
No, she works for the United States Forest Service.
Oh, she does?
Yes.
And I bet you she's...
She is a teacher. She's teaching me how to behave. Yeah, but she's great.
Yeah, I always laugh when I hear all these people in Christendom always talking about, oh, the man's the head of the house. I think biblically that's true, but I always hearken back to the very biblical movie called My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the woman says, yeah, the man might be the head, but the woman's the neck, and she can turn that head any way she wants. That is absolutely true. It's true stuff. Well, we have so much great leadership. We have leadership in the women's community. And by the way, you have a lot of female deputies.
Yes.
You have men, all kinds of different jobs available. Are you doing any recruiting now? Any particular positions you're looking for?
Recruiting never stops, and we've actively recruited women since I've been in office to probably double the numbers. So we're proud of the women that we have coming on board. We have a couple of NCAA basketball players that have come on board with us. Just good young women that want to serve the community and do well at it.
Yeah, and it's very good. It's such a neat profession. Yeah. How long have you been serving law enforcement?
I started on August 14th. Excuse me, of 1989. And I had a 4-year reprieve. I ran for sheriff and, I lost that race, and then I came back and followed up and won this, first race. And then I'm on my second term. So yeah. Been interesting.
Yeah. It's been a fun time.
Yes.
So I want to ask you now about, recruitment in general. What happens? People graduate from high school. Can they be recruited at that time? They need some college hours. They need vocational hours. Tell me what kind of is involved in becoming a Bernalillo County Sheriff.
You just need to be 21 years of age, have at least a GED and a good background. And the other thing is, what people don't realize, a lot of the drivers of recruitment come, believe it or not, from a global economy. We compete with the military, how the economy is. So there's a lot of factors that result in whether you're going to be successful or not. I think that for me, I don't pay as much attention, although I know there's some things that impact recruitment, is just really, again, the culture you create. And if people are really happy, and if you have a calling, then this is like no other career. I've never felt like I've worked a day in my life. Although people question, me about the attacks and the scrutiny and all the different things, maybe some of the persecution that's gone on with holding this office. As I welcome it, it inspires me to want to work harder, serve longer, And so for me, it's been nothing but a blessing. But my point with recruitment is this is, I wouldn't say it's a job. I really believe it's a calling. And I think that when I say that, I think the people that fare the wellest are the people and that are most satisfied that come and answer the call to serve people.
You've said earlier that it's not just the faith community that you're concerned about. You're concerned about no matter what people believe, you're here to serve them and you're here to take care of them and literally lay your life on the line, Sheriff.
Yes.
I mean, that's what law enforcement does. But I want to mention to you something that I think you'll appreciate. We have an organization in New Mexico called New Mexico Praise. And it's an amazing group of churches that for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like one church might take 4 hours a day, the other church will take three, or one church might pray all night for 12 hours. They have a group of individuals. And part of the prayer list is to pray for law enforcement. So you have people in New Mexico praying for you 24/7. You may not have known that.
I had a good feeling about this because people tell me that when I meet with them that they're praying for me and they reached out to me in different many ways, in many different ways. It could be face to face. It could be social media, but I'm hearing this ongoing theme about they're praying for us. And I really believe it works because I think everything that we've been able to achieve with all the adversity and all the obstacles and all the criticisms and all the attacks that we're still successful. And I think that speaks to the volumes of people that are praying for us. So in my own spiritual belief, it works. And I believe that it inspires me every day. And I have this fire burning inside of me that I can't turn off. And I think it's really a result of the people that are really taking the time to pray for us. So I'd like to thank them. I believe in what they believe. And I'm just like them. I want to have a better quality of life. I think we owe it to everybody that including our parents that want us to have a better life, to do it for the next generation. I think that's why we're here, and that's why we're here to serve.
What does a typical shift look like for a sheriff's officer?
For this one, it looks like all kinds of different things from the morning till the middle of the night. But for the average person that's starting off, it's going to be shift work. And there are seniority issues. There's a contract, so you're not always going to get on the shift you want. But I think as you go through that, you figure out that this is a very rewarding shift. You get kind of lost and can get hooked up and just wanting to do this all the time. So you have to really figure out what that balance looks like for your personal life and your professional life. I think if you're here for the right reasons and you totally immerse yourself in like the professional development, the actual going out there and serving the people and getting involved in your community, it's like nothing else you would ever experience. It's only limited to what you want to create it to be.
What are your favorite stories that you hear from your deputies as they come in off the field? Do you have certain things that really just make you smile and you hear about that really you appreciate?
I read four letters of accommodations this morning before I came in, and they were all different. They were, and some of them are shocking to the conscience. You know, I read one where a deputy had went to a lady that was in a disparaging position, or I should say situation. She ended up killing herself. Uh-huh. But just the way the deputy went in there and still went and gave them the dignity and respect they deserved as a dead person, mm-hmm. and the way they handled the scene and how well informed they gave that information to the detective so they could handle that, that was one. There was another issue where one deputy was in the city and they couldn't get a response. So he showed up, a detective showed up, and there was an issue of this property being back in Texas. And he took the case so serious is that he actually retrieved the property from Texas. And those little things like that of service that mean so much to the people and that they want something done. Every incident is important to them, no matter how little it is. So I think the fact that the deputy or deputies give them that personal service means everything to a person. I think that's what makes me happy. All those little tiny things add up. And I guess at this point, my bucket's overflowing because these people do all these little things and it just is a great place to be because I could tell you story after story of how these deputies go and do these great things. One that stands out to me is a deputy a couple of years ago, a new deputy. He was on the field training, position of his service, I should say, of the start of his career. And he went to an incident where they broke into an elderly woman's home, but in the breaking in of her home, they broke her fence and tore it up. It's not the fact that they recovered her property. It's the fact that they reached out to one of the local hardware stores. They got the supplies and they went back and built her fence for her. And She was so grateful. So those are the things that you'll never hear about.
Yeah. And we should hear about
those. You should hear about those things.
Those are stories you're going to hear about here on ABQ Connect, because we're going to have you, Sheriff. Okay. We're going to have you frequently come on the program.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to have one more segment with you. Again, you've been very gracious to be with us the whole hour. So Manuel Gonzalez is the Bernalillo County Sheriff here in our fair city and the outlying unincorporated areas, I guess, is the proper term.
That's correct.
So anytime you are out on the outskirts of Albuquerque, you're going to see sheriff's department officers, deputies patrolling, and they're nice to say hello to, and they know how to help and give you any assistance that you might need. But you also do a lot of work inside the city limits. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. In Egypt, Christian women face discrimination for both their faith and gender. Education for women is severely limited, and anyone leaving the Muslim faith risks rejection from family and the community at large. To address these needs, three formerly Muslim women organized an underground Bible school for Christian women. And in the past year alone, the school has grown to several thousand students simply by word of mouth. Some of the women haven't yet told their families of their faith in Christ, fearing rejection or abandonment. Pray God gives wisdom and courage to these new believers as they continue their studies and grow in faith.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence.
Nor will I let them serve alone.
To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians,
go to vomradio.net.
Just take another step. This is Roger Patterson with a Minute of Vision for Life. Have you ever watched an Ironman race? Maybe you've participated in one. They're extreme races involving a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bike ride, and a full marathon run of 26.2 miles. My brother Troy did an Ironman, and finishing was the realization of a big goal in his life. I wonder at what point in that race, and even how frequently, he had to say to himself, just take another step. You know, you may be in a season that feels like you're running a marathon or even an Ironman race, and you're ready to throw in the towel. It may be your job, a struggle with your kids, or a deep wound in your marriage. Friend, I want to encourage you to just take another step. Romans 5:3-4 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation.
You've been listening to Roger Patterson, author of A Minute of Vision for Men, a daily devotional available at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade & Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KNKT at our show, ABQ Connect. In fact, they have been sponsors for more than 20 years. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade & Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Bernalillo County Sheriff Manuel Gonzalez in studio. He is in his second term, halfway through the second term?
Yes.
Not allowed to run for a third term?
Nope.
So I asked you earlier, you're considering a run for mayor?
Yes.
And I want to ask you a little bit about how crime could be reduced and improve our economy. And you kind of indicated earlier that it might have a whole bunch of beneficial impacts on our economy and jobs and everything if we reduce crime.
Absolutely. One thing we've done is our strategy is to collaborate, and that goes back to working with our local, state, and federal partners. We've done a heck of a job doing decentralization of integrating some of our services with some of the business community which is very effective, impactful, and sustainable to make sure that people feel comfortable about going out there and shopping in certain areas. And that's another approach. And our community policing efforts are second to none. And then also our fundamental policing, which is really the foundation of what we do, of having that face-to-face, somebody showing up to your home and giving you that service, no matter how little your issue is, and helping you solve that problem.
Well, I asked you earlier about recruiting.
Yes.
But I understand that there may be some other opportunities for even younger people, 18-year-olds, to maybe get involved with the Sheriff's Department.
Yes, that's a good follow-up, Jim. The thing that I should have probably mentioned is that if you're, you know, not 21 and you're 18 and you're interested out of high school, is consider our community service aides. They go out there. They take accidents. Sometimes they're directing traffic. They handle some non-priority calls that our deputies wouldn't, you probably don't want them hung up on. That's a good program. Our CSS program is community security specialist that they're able to also go out there and do some stuff at the jail. These are shift work also, so it kind of gets you introduced. It's not going to be like law enforcement, but it gets you started if that's the path that you want to go.
Yeah, and there's a lot. I think I mentioned earlier, and I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning his name, and I'm going to anyway.
Yes.
Daniel Scartwood, former Hope Christian student, football
yes.
player.
One of our deputies.
And his dad and his family, great friends of ours. Daniel grew up with my kids, and he's been a deputy in the Sheriff's Department and just loves it.
And he's done a fantastic job. And we have so many young people like Daniel. And that's why I remain so optimistic, is that from the time I've been here for the last 6 years, we have young people like Daniel coming to our agency, men and women that have the same great attitude, that love the job, want to serve. And it just, instead of having 300 people, you feel like you have 1,000 people working for you because they're so motivated, so driven, so enthusiastic about coming every day and making a difference. Is that's what's really making the department a unique department. One other thing I wanted to mention about the recruiting is that if you're in a position and you've gone through the process, you get through the sheriff selection, you make it through, you're holding another job and you're concerned, or maybe you don't have a job, we do have a pre-hire program that makes it very attractive to continue on with the sheriff's office.
And they could get in touch with you through, well, I know your basic website is BernalilloCountySheriff.com, but there's probably a tab there to click on for recruitment.
For Go BCSO.
Go BCSO. Okay.
Yes.
And is that a .com, do you know?
Yeah, www.gobcso, right, .com.
Yeah. Cool. And I just want our listeners to be able to know that there are opportunities and there's a way to grow your career in the department. And
absolutely.
You did that. And
that's exactly what I did. You know, I was talking a little bit because I know me and you are probably not in the digital age, but this young generation will be able to figure out exactly how to get on there without our help.
Yeah. Well, I made the comment to my daughters this past weekend when we were all together, and two of my three daughters were in the room and both texting while talking to me at the same time and not even looking at their phone.
Yes.
It was almost like they were saying, "Dad is telling me congratulations." And it's like, you know, I learned how to type when I was in seventh grade, but that's about as far as I got. There's no typing with my thumb on a cell phone.
We underestimate that generation, and, you know, we don't really know what they're up to because we don't. And the thing about them is that things that would literally take us hours, they can do in seconds or minutes because they're so, what's the word I'm looking for? So proficient in technology. So proficient in technology, they can run circles around us. So anytime I need something researched, looked at, I just call them one of my kids.
And is there technology that's being deployed by the Sheriff's Department to help you?
Absolutely. We're looking at some artificial intelligence, some software technology, just to make sure that we're in touch with the public. There's a lot of evidence-based things, technology-based things. Obviously, you have a records management system. Anything that we can use from a technology data we utilize, it's just a different generation, and we want to make sure we're leveraging those things so we can make people safer.
Absolutely. Can making our city safer, and I'm shifting now, I guess, to mayoral questions. You go from taking care of the Sheriff's Department to running the city. Can education improve if people feel safer on our campuses?
I believe anything's possible. You know, I think it's how you set things up. I think as long as you're managing the government services to benefit the people, then anything can get better, whether it's education, the economy, tourism, safety. It's all hand-in-glove type things. So absolutely, it all comes down to public political reform, and therefore you have to have good policies that benefit the people instead of making policies that are coming from outer space or from, I should say, nationally. As long as you're focused on your community and that's where your emphasis is, you can always do better. And I think we're at the stage where I think we're tired of being 50th in the economy. We're tired of being 50th
in education
and high in crime, if not at the top of the list.
Yes.
I think we're all tired of that.
Sheriff, I want to ask you, we've got about 5 minutes left, so there's a couple more things I want to go over. But a couple times you've said today we need political reform. But I think what you mean to say, or at least a component of that, is I've known you a while. And you remind me of what I'm going to call our old school Democrats. I had a gentleman named Jeff Apodaca. He is the son of our former governor, Jerry Apodaca.
I know Jeff.
And Jeff shared a really interesting story to me when he was a young man living in Santa Fe in the governor's mansion. He said, I can remember my dad having Republican representatives from the legislature and Democrat every single morning at the governor's mansion to have coffee. And his dad required him to come in and say hello to everybody. And he remembered, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but he remembers these very lively discussions. And then as soon as the discussions were over, the guys were going, oh, well, where are we going to lunch? They were friends. They liked each other. They appreciated the positions, even if they didn't agree. To me, that's political reform. What happened to the relationships?
Yes.
And that's what I see you bringing to us.
That's what I truly believe in, is that I'm in my place because of relationships. And to me, political reform, as I feel like it's been revealed to me, is that I believe that I'm a little, I think everybody's a little frustrated of everybody pointing the fingers and saying, where's the accountability? And the reform comes in that we need to stop blaming everybody else and start taking control of what we have control of. And what we need to have control of is the city of Albuquerque. And so if the people, if we represent them as elected officials, then Albuquerque can be what I would consider should be in the future, the Southwest capital of the United States. That's the way I envision it. Then we can make that happen. And it's not political reform, is just what you said, relationships. There's so many developers, there's so many business people, there's so many people that are stakeholders in this community that have a vision for Albuquerque, but nobody's willing to bring everybody together politically to make it happen. Well, I believe there's somebody there. We just need to make sure they're elected into office.
When will you make an announcement, do you think, as to whether or not you'll be running?
I got some fantastic news today, earlier today, to finally upstand what is, I consider, almost the final piece of my consideration. So I would say that based on that, I'm looking at 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today. And so I have to be an obnoxious talk show host and say, will you come back on the show after you announce?
Absolutely.
Well, I think our community is really going to be interested in hearing from you. I will be obligated to also speak to whoever you're running against. But I do want you to know that I've invited the mayor, our current mayor, on the show, and I don't know why, but he has not accepted my invitation. So I appreciate you very much being here today.
I appreciate you having me, and thank your audience.
And we will continue to pray for you, Sheriff Gonzalez. Thank you for all you do for us.
Thank you.
Connect is
presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.